The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, here we go. Taking off on a Wednesday. You know, we were supposed to be marveling at all the new revelations heard during the what could be the final hearing, public hearing of the January 6th committee today. But that was postponed. We don't know when it was postponed until, hopefully not too long, because Hurricane Ian is has taken control today. Hurricane Ian came ashore, made landfall, as they say, in Fort Myers at about 3 o'clock this afternoon, so about 2 hours ago. It is likely, I would think, in the middle of the eye right now. And in fact, when I think I have this on MSNBC, when they return, maybe I'll bring it up, because they should have the a bee in the eye right about now, in the Fort Myers area. It's strong. It is still technically a Category 4. It hit with winds, they said, at about 150 miles per hour. They did clock them up to 155. Category 5 kicks in at 157. So this is a very strong storm, the strongest to hit on Florida's west coast in a long, long time. So that's happening. But I gotta share with you something that just, made me laugh this morning. And, you know, anything for a laugh, right? We could always use a laugh. So the show, if you watch the show on one of the video streams, we stream to YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook Live. Hopefully we're firing on all those cylinders today. But if you, I don't think Facebook is streaming for whatever reason. I don't know why. Facebook doesn't appear to be up. Oh, well. I hope Facebookers come over to one of the other streams. Anyway, and I'll fix it for tomorrow. But so this morning I'm doing my usual cruise around the interwebs looking for, you know, the news. And I see this graphic. And this graphic is just ludicrous. Before I pull it up, I'm going to explain what it is. It's your typical hurricane weather person on TV using the marker and making what turns out to be a sort of, not necessarily obscene, but, you know, at least R-rated graphic. So, but I'm looking at the weather guy and I'm saying, boy, he looks familiar. So let me show you what it was. And this is from Fox Weather, because Fox doesn't dominate enough of your lives. So they recently launched a weather channel. And I guess they hired Brian Norcross. Now, Brian Norcross is the guy who became a superstar in South Florida during Hurricane Andrew. And, well, what happened was he's now at Fox Weather, apparently, and he's doing his report. Wait a minute. I think I have the video here. I can pull up the video so you can see. Hold on one second. Let me just whip this out. Hold on one second. Let me see if I can find it. I'm not the most organized when it comes to these things. Okay. So it'll be worth it, I promise you. So Brian Norcross, again, was the guy. You know, I should play this after. All right, here's what I'm going to do. Back in 1992, when Hurricane Andrew hit, he was the weather guy at the NBC station here in South Florida. I told you the story yesterday, how I was home at my dad's house visiting because he had just gotten out of the hospital after being pushed in an incident that left him quadriplegic. So we were stuck there. He did wind up getting a van, but the van, we didn't have any transportation for him at the time. So we weren't going anywhere. We were sitting ducks. The power went out. It was just me and my dad, and the storm shutters were down, so I couldn't even look out the window. But I heard, you know, debris flying from all angles, and I likened it to like a Twilight Zone episode. Everything's a Twilight Zone episode, isn't it? Where, you know, there were aliens trying to get in from all directions, banging on all sides of the house. So anyway, what we did have was a battery-operated television. And the storm really hit overnight. So this was an all-night thing. I'm out in the living room with this TV, and Brian Norcross really kept me sane that night. Well, I looked up. There's a documentary that's available on YouTube. It's called Hurricane Andrew As It Happened. So I wanted to share with you just a little clip so you could see who this guy was and how he became such an icon here in South Florida. So here is here's a little bit of the video. Again, the whole thing is available on YouTube, and it's probably worth watching if you're at all curious about what happened, you know, what, 30 years ago in August. So here's just a little bit. Okay.
We have people so, that have
that's Brian Norcross, the guy who's talking now.
We know what the weather conditions were like, and anybody there would not.
They were in a back room in the TV studio being safe. This was, they moved in there at about 3:30 in the morning.
Please come on in. Yeah, you've made your point and we certainly appreciate it, but we have no need, further need of your services.
They're talking to a correspondent out on the street. Okay, here.
I moved across South Dade between 4 and 6:30 that morning. Ooh. Windows shattered and roofs were torn off. Amazingly, even as their homes were coming down around them, people called in to be our eyes and ears and to find out if it would ever end.
Uh-oh. So here's one of those calls. Oh, it says the worst.
What are you experiencing out there, Ken?
Well, Brian, we've had nothing but continual, relentless wind. We've had no lulls. We've had continuous wind.
Right. I'm sure your power is out, right?
Yeah, we're watching you on a battery-powered radio.
Weren't we all?
Battery-powered television?
Yes.
All right. Obviously, your phone is very, very weak.
Okay.
So speak up as much as you can.
All right, we've been pretty lucky out here. We've only lost one window, but every once in a while we can hear some tiles coming off the top of the roof. We've lost most of our landscaping also.
Apparently a lot of people are calling, just panicking.
A very young Jose Diaz Balart.
Through the storm. Something you can tell them to just let them know what it's going to be like and what they can expect in the next couple of hours.
We understand a woman by the name of Madeline in Kendall is on the phone.
That's,
Madeline, what's the situation
there? Oh, Kelly
there?
Craig was her
okay.
name.
Okay, we have a window broke in one of the rooms.
Okay, so anyway, this documentary tells of the what we went through that night. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, they moved to the safe area. They were talking to people on the phone, told them to, Brian Norcross, get mattresses. Go in the bathroom if you can, as long as there's no windows in there. Bring mattresses with you. Everybody get in the bathtub and pull the mattresses over your head. That was the advice he gave on the air that night. And thankfully, he did, because authorities said it saved a lot of lives because people followed the advice. This was a direct hit from a massive hurricane. Again, it was a fraction of the size of Ian, but it was strong. It was a Category 5. So Brian Norcross became like a god, a weather god here in South Florida. He was the, by far, most famous weathercaster ever, and he owed it, you know, owed it to Hurricane Andrew. So this morning, when I see this graphic of his drawing, I thought, well, this, you know, what? No. So here, let me show you. Okay, so I'm going to show you the very short video clip. Let me pull this over here, and I know it's a visual thing.
This, what you think you see is all kind of tracks here over Florida,
yeah,
and fewer over here.
Oh,
well,
should pull me
that's
away.
Just because the European model makes more.
Okay, so you see the picture that he wound up. You can see my description of it on the screen if you're watching. Brian Norcross, the most recognizable news or weather person in South Florida, now working for Fox Weather, drew a dick on the state of Florida. Yes, Long Wang, Vietnam. yeah, Neil Rod, somebody called, oh, the weather fairy. Well, whatever. But yeah, so, you know, I've always said Florida is, you know, the America's Penis. And Brian Norcross just drew it on TV for all to see. I got a kick out of that because I'm a child and I like scatological silly humor. Anyway, you know, we've seen those pop up from time to time on TV or on video on of viral moments of weathercasters inadvertently drawing penises on the tube. I just didn't expect it from Brian Norcross. Anyway, here we are. The hurricane did hit shore. Let me bring you up to speed on some of our listeners. You know, I'll know Robert from Naples, who calls the show from time to time. Well, today I called him because I'm watching. Someone else just said Ali Velshi is in Naples, Florida. God, I wish I had I don't have a map of the state up that doesn't have a penis drawn on it. But Naples is below, is south of Fort Myers. Fort Myers is where it came ashore. Ali Velshi is at some hotel right off the beach. And the street, the side street leading up to the ocean, leading up to the sand, was flooded. It was not looking good. So he's reporting there. And I watched this report where they showed cars on that street outside of Ali Velshi's window floating, carried away, because the water at that point was about 4 feet deep in the streets. So once again, I am not what you would call a lucky person. I've not had great luck, especially in the later part of my life. But boy, today do I feel lucky. We are in the part of Florida, the safest part of Florida, because this entire state is being hit by this massive storm. But in Florida, in Southeast Florida, by Miami, Fort Lauderdale area, this is probably the safest place in all of Florida. I see MSNBC now has a live shot in Orlando. See, the storm is moving in. Nice that it's doing it during daylight hours. But yeah, I just feel for everybody in the path of the storm. All right. So, you know, the phone lines are open today. Should you care to weigh in on anything, feel free to call. I'll take calls as I can. By the way, listener David asks me to remind you that tropical storms start at 39 miles per hour and can cause harm. Hurricanes start at 74 miles per hour, turning anything loose into a javelin. Okay. Thank you, David. See, I get texts on the call-in line, too, so occasionally. But 954-889-6410 is the number. Our friend Robert said he got really lucky because, you know, they told us yesterday they were riding the storm out. He was not leaving. And then the storm, you know, jogged to the right, which is why it hit Fort Myers and not Tampa. Now, Tampa, again, it's a giant storm, so Tampa's still getting hit, but not a direct hit. Naples, though, got the ugly side of the storm, as they call it. But Robert said he's fine. They're, again, a few miles inland, and so it wasn't as bad as the pictures we saw on TV. But he also said he works in construction, and he already got a call to come in. So at some point, he said he would try to call on his way into work. I have a feeling he's already slammed and busy. So, Robert, if you're listening, just stay safe. All right. Don't worry about calling, but please stay safe. Okay. All right. So, yeah, so that's all that. Now I do have a bunch of other stuff. As I told you yesterday, I didn't get to, play a lot of the stuff that I've been building up here, that I've been piling up here, amassing as it were, because I told you my earthquake versus hurricane story, and I could go on forever about that. But today, unless someone wants to call in and say something about the hurricanes, look, it's raining, it's storming, it's a hurricane. All right, we're going to ride it out, and we've got other things to talk about. Something happened a few weeks ago that I really wanted to share with you, but I never had the time. Never had the time for it. And today I do, and I do want to share this because, yeah, I've been critical of Merrick Garland, right? I was disappointed that he was Barack Obama's choice for the Supreme Court because what he was doing was trying to placate the Republicans by choosing a very centrist, right down the middle, law and order guy. In other words, I was mad at Obama because he didn't pick a partisan liberal, which is what I would have liked to see because that's what they do on the other side. I like to even the score. But he picked Merrick Garland and it didn't really matter in the end because Mitch McConnell, Mr. Turtle, wouldn't even give him a hearing. Held the seat open for almost a year, stole it, right? So when Joe Biden comes in, and we're all like speculating who's he going to pick for attorney general. Honestly, the last person I thought he'd choose is Merrick Garland, but he did. And at first I thought, okay, that's a nice fuck you to McConnell and Trump. But really, Merrick Garland? See, an attorney general, I want someone who's a fighter. That's not Merrick Garland. He's kind of a meek, soft-spoken man. And, you know, I was among the many screaming, where is Merrick Garland? In terms of doing something about Trump and all of the crimes he committed as president, including, you know, leading an insurrection and fomenting violence at the Capitol. So now, you know, I listen to my friend Marcy Wheeler. I understand that the wheels of justice turn very, very slowly, way too slowly. But finally, we see it coming together and we realize that, you know, Donald Trump committed a lot of crimes. He is the con man of the century, actually of the turn of the century, of two centuries, probably perpetrated the biggest fraud on the American people of all time. And maybe history will tell that story, although he's so good at lying that we never hear, you know, a true examination of what is really going on. Well, we would have gotten some of that today if not for the damn hurricane, but patience. I just must learn patience. Anyway, Merrick Garland is now doing his job, right? He's doing what he needs to do. And I'm fumfering as I look for the video because I know I have it here. And it's fairly lengthy. I'm warning you now. But what happened was on, I think it was around the 17th of this month. So about 2 weeks ago, Merrick Garland was at Ellis Island, you know, where all the immigrants came into the nation, where the Statue of Liberty is. And he swore in America's newest crop of citizens. Yes, immigrants who went through the whole process to become citizens, U.S. citizens. He officiated the swearing-in ceremony. And I got to tell you, the speech he gave was great. Now, I'm warning you, this runs a few minutes, but I think it's really worth listening. It's like 10 minutes. So, I mean, it's not that that bad. I'm going to cue in past, if I can, past the oath, because the oath, like the road, seems to go on forever. But we'll go past that. By the way, his voice cracked a little bit when he congratulated them on being the newest American citizens. So let's take a few minutes and realize, you know, that this is what he brings to the table here and how important what he says is, especially at a time, and we are at a time in history where we're seeing the rise of fascism again. All you have to do is look at the Florida governor, you know, the guy called moron death sentence, because he is. He's a fascist. Trump is a fascist. And I don't use the word lightly. I mean it. And I know the definition. We are seeing fascism on the rise. In Italy, this fascist woman, Georgia, what's her name? I'm drawing a blank, but you know, the new prime minister, first female prime minister, and she is the head of the Brothers of Italy. That is a political party that grew out of Mussolini's party upon his death. this is the first time, and it is a fascist party. That's who they are. She is the new prime minister of Italy. And who do I see in a photograph with her? Her buddy, her pal, Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon. What? Maloney. That's her name. Right. Georgia Maloney. I should remember that because it's like the guy from Law and Order, SVU. SUV? SVU. Anyway, Maloney. That's her name. Remember it because I'm sure we'll hear it a lot more. Part of her her coalition to rule the nation, her fascist coalition, includes Silvio Berlusconi, who is, you know, only the next bad fascist who ran Italy for a while. So it's bad, and it's growing around the country. All the more reason that what we're seeing, the Democratic candidates who are on the ballot in November are running more and more on preserving democracy, on the future of this democratic republic that we live in, on the future of our freedoms. Even while they talk about freedoms, this idiot governor we have, his commercials are, oh, Ron DeSantis has kept us free. No, it's the opposite of fascism is the opposite of freedom. And that's why I want to play Merrick Garland's speech for you at the swearing in of these new citizens. Because we still value immigration. We know that our ancestors, unless you are our Native American, our ancestors were all immigrants. And we know how important it is, this great melting pot that I learned about as a kid that they don't teach in school anymore. So here, you know, give me 10 minutes and I promise you it's worth it. He just swore in a whole group of new, brand spanking new American citizens, Merrick Garland.
Just now, each of you took an oath of allegiance to the United States. In so doing, you took your place alongside generations who came before you, many through this very building, seeking protection, freedom, and opportunity. This country, your country, wholeheartedly welcomes you.
He choked up a few times.
I know that you have
speech.
Made sacrifices in order to be here today. You should be proud of all you have accomplished. I am proud of you. You have made the decision to become Americans not only at an important time in our country's history, but on an important day. It was 235 years ago on this day, September 17th, 1787, that 39 delegates to the Constitutional Convention, representing 12 states, signed their names to the Constitution of the United States. Like you, those who signed the Constitution were relatively new Americans. In fact, America had only existed for 11 years at that point. Like you, those Americans had great hopes for their own future and for the future of their new country. In the preamble of the Constitution, those Americans enumerated those hopes to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and importantly, in their words, to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Like them, each of you has now made a commitment not only to this nation and your fellow Americans, but to the generations of Americans who will come after you. In that commitment, you have given your posterity and the posterity of all of us a precious gift. I know how valuable that gift is, because it is the same one my grandparents gave my family and me.
Choked up again.
I come from a family of immigrants who fled religious persecution early in the 20th century and sought refuge here in the United States. Some of my family entered right here at Ellis Island. My grandmother is one of five children born in what is now Belarus. Three made it to the United States, including my grandmother, who came through the port of Baltimore. Two did not make it. Those two were killed in the Holocaust. If not for America, there's little doubt that the same would have happened to my grandmother. But this country took her in. And under the protection of our laws, she was able to live without fear of persecution. I'm also married to the daughter of an immigrant who came through the port of New York in 1938. Shortly after Hitler's army entered Austria that year, my wife's mother escaped to the United States. Under the protection of our laws, she too was able to live without fear of persecution. That protection is what distinguishes America from so many other countries. The protection of law, the rule of law, is the foundation of our system of government. The rule of law means that the same laws apply to all of us, regardless of whether we are this country's newest citizens or whether our countries have been here for generations. The rule of law means that the law treats each of us alike. There is not one rule for friends, another for foes. One rule for the powerful, another for the powerless. One rule for the rich, another for the poor, or different rules depending upon one's race or ethnicity or country of origin. The rule of law means that we are all protected in the exercise of our civil rights, in our freedom to worship and to think as we please, and in the peaceful expression of our opinions, our beliefs, and our ideas. Of course, we still have work to do to make a more perfect union. Although the rule of law has always been our guiding light, we have not always been faithful to it. The rule of law is not assured. It is fragile. It demands constant effort and vigilance. The responsibility to ensure the rule of law is and has been the duty of every generation in our country's history. It is now your duty as well. And it is one that is especially urgent today at a time of intense polarization in America. The United States is no stranger to what our founders called the risk of faction. Alexander Hamilton and James Madison wrote about it in the Federalist Papers. George Washington warned against it in his farewell address. Overcoming the current polarization in our public life is and will continue to be a difficult task. But we cannot overcome it by ignoring it. We must address the fractures in our society with honesty, with humility, and with respect for the rule of law. This demands that we tolerate peaceful disagreement with one another on issues of politics and policy. It demands that we listen to each other, even when we disagree. And it demands that we reject violence and threats of violence that endanger each other and endanger our democracy. We must not allow the fractures between us to fracture our democracy. We are all in this together. We are all Americans. On this historic day and in this historic place, let us make a promise that each of us will protect each other and our democracy, that we will honor and defend our Constitution.
What a concept. Yes, that deserves applause.
That we will recognize and respect the dignity of our fellow Americans.
Huh.
That we will uphold the rule of law and seek to make real the promise of equal justice under law.
Again, what a concept.
That we will do what is right, even if that means doing what is difficult. And that we will do these things, not only for ourselves, but for the generations of Americans who will come after us. I have often thought about what members of my family felt as they came through buildings like this. And I have often thought about what their decisions meant for my own life. My family story is what motivated me to choose a career in public service. I wanted to repay my country for taking my family in when they had nowhere else to go. I wanted to repay the debt my family owes this country for our very lives.
Wow.
My family members who immigrated here have now long since passed. I regret that I cannot express to them how grateful I am for the gift they gave me in choosing to come to this country. So, let me thank each of you. Thank you for choosing America as your home.
Wow.
Thank you for the courage and dedication and work that has brought you here. Thank you for all you will do to help our country live up to its highest ideals. Thank you on behalf of a nation that is fortunate to call you as its citizens. And thank you upon behalf of the generation of Americans who will come after you. Thank you all.
Wow, 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 wow. That is Attorney General Merrick Garland. Yes, the guy that we have somewhat vilified over the years because he wasn't moving quickly enough for us. They're swearing in America's newest group of citizens. Those are immigrants who to whom he administered the citizenship oath on Ellis Island. That's where that happened on September 17th, so about 2 weeks ago. And he delivered that speech. Now, Merrick Garland is not the most electric speaker. And yes, I mentioned a few times how he was choking up. And I didn't mention it as a point of ridicule or anything like that. No, more to the point, because I respect it so much. Because he's not showing some, you know, toxic masculinity and afraid to show emotions. This, he told his story. I had no idea that Merrick Garland's family escaped the Holocaust. Merrick Garland is, you know, about as far from a Jewish name as I can think of one. I always just thought it's another WASP, you know, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, which is, you know, a lot of what Jews are not. But, you know, we all share this history. And part of the American political leadership, though it's hard to say leadership, thinking about today's Republicans, are denying it. They are vilifying immigrants. They just don't seem to grasp the principles behind this democracy. And they're celebrating the rise of fascism again in this country. And that's why it was so important for me to play that. And again, I've been holding on to that speech for the better part of 2 weeks now. So sometimes, you know, when I have a free show like this, I need to take advantage of it. That speech, you know, he's not an electric speaker. He's not like a Barack Obama delivering a speech. I could understand why so many people overlooked it and why if I hadn't played it just now, you never would have heard it. But I think right now with what's happening in history today, we all need to hear it. As someone though said in the chat room, it's unfortunate. A lot of the people who need to hear that will not ever hear it. And it is a shame. You know, I heard one of the reasons why the hearing that was scheduled for today that was postponed because of the hurricane that will hopefully be rescheduled for next week, why it was going to be at 1 o'clock in the afternoon instead of in prime time at night. And the reason is because the Fox Not News channel doesn't carry the primetime hearings, but they do carry the ones that are on during the day. And it's important to reach the people who will only turn on Fox thinking that they're getting news, and they just don't understand that it's all propaganda. So I'll take that. I get it. I think we need to reach that audience. They need to hear that kind of stuff. So there's that. A few other things I thought you should see today. So, for instance, while you and I have our concerns about the storm, and we want to make sure that people we know and even people we don't know are safe, that they're going to survive. We see this video. It's a very quick one. For those of you not watching one of the video feeds, I will explain to you what you see. And it's very quick. It's like a 13-minute video. And it was posted on, I don't know, probably Truth Social, somewhere on the social medias, by Laura Trump. Laura Trump. She's the one married to Eric. Okay? And apparently, one of the most disconcerting things about this part of the family is they've reproduced. So they have a child. The child appears to be about 2, maybe 3. And so they're here in Florida somewhere. The Trumps have invaded the state. Another reason why I need to get out of here. And so wherever they are in Florida, obviously, this must have been early this morning, when it was just raining, like hard raining. And this little kid, you know, spoiled as I'm sure he is, has one of those like electric cars, you know, that they make for little children. And so Laura Trump, in a character building exercise, makes the kid go out and ride in this electric car in the hurricane rain. The kid's crying, by the way. Here it is. Would help if I hit play.
Oh my God, Luke.
He's crying. She thinks this is hysterical. And then there's a dog running in the rain. And this poor kid's crying. Oh my God. What is wrong with these people? I'm asking seriously. What is wrong with these people? I don't understand people like that. But then again, I don't understand any of these folks. So I have a whole list of topics, of videos that I have, things that I could, talk about today. And one thing that I keep coming back to is Herschel Walker. I can't help it. Why is the race between Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock tight? In some polls, I see that Warnock is up like 2 or 3 points, but in others, I see it's neck and neck. This should not be. Raphael Warnock is a pretty brilliant man. Herschel Walker? I'm sorry, the man is a fucking moron. He is just a moron. I don't know how else to describe him. So I have a couple of clips. Like, I know there was one from today, and I don't know what I did with it. But for instance, this one, they were talking about 9/11. So you can tell I've held on to this for a few weeks just because I haven't had time to get to it. So here is from the Fox. Herschel Walker's the guest, and just listen to this back and forth. I'm not going to play much of it.
Herschel Walker joins me right now. Herschel, it's great to see you. Thanks very much for being here this morning.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for having me on, Maria.
Yeah, Maria Bartiromo. We've been talking about September 11th and the great leadership of the first responders. We are also looking ahead to why we need to see a change in policy, Herschel. Assess the situation today, 21 years after September 11th, and what you want to see change in terms of policy there in Georgia.
Okay, policy question.
Well, you know, you got to pay tribute to the 9/11 victims, but also you saw America come together. You saw America come together because this country was, on the war with a country that didn't believe in us.
What?
And right now we have.
Okay, that's all you need to hear. We were at a war. We were in a war, he said, with a country that didn't believe in us. No. He has no idea. Somebody in the chat room just said, are you seriously asking what's wrong with these people? Seriously? Keith Ratner, yeah, I am. Because that somebody could vote for that person who gave that answer and think that that person belongs in the U.S. Senate? Seriously? Where's the one from today? Oh, I know. Hold on. I didn't download the video, I think. Do I have it here? No, I can't find it. Damn it. He made just another brilliant, she says facetiously, remark today. But you know what? You don't even have to go, searching very far for them because he does it all the time. On the other hand, let me see if I have one more. Do I have one more? Herschel Walker. Okay, here's just an audio clip.
It's coming over, killing 18 to 40-something-year-olds. Hey, we got to stop this. We got to stop it. So we got to talk about this border. We got to secure the border.
Okay,
that's
the border.
I got someone who knows about the border.
Yeah.
We've been talking about the border, and that's what we got to do. Oh, well, do I support it? Yes, I support it. I don't think
anything
bad about it. Maybe the problem we have,
they
need
Vineyard.
To have stopped the border before. Right now, you're talking about it. You weren't talking about it yesterday. Nobody wanted to talk about it. Now he got someone's attention. And they say it's not right that he's doing it. Well, what is right? What is right is they should have been down at the border. When they went down there months ago, they talked about the border. They talked about so much of the border, and they left, did absolutely nothing. And now people know the border is wide open. The border is not secured.
What? Okay, nothing the man says makes sense. Then there's this.
Out of debate, he may not even show up for that.
Oh, talking about, he says Raphael Warnock is afraid to debate him. That's the premise of this clip.
Well, for that one, he made every excuse not to show up. He was making every excuse not to show up. I begged him until I chased him down. And then he decided he was going to show up on October the 14th, so all you be there, October the 14th. He's going to show up, and we're going to debate, and we're going to see whether he wants to debate, if he shows up.
If he shows up.
I told
up.
Him to put his big man pants on, and I think he put them on and finally decided to come, so I'm happy that he's going to come in his hometown here in Savannah. So it's going to be a good debate.
Oh, my God.
You have not agreed to do debates
before. He wouldn't. The reporter's asking him, you haven't agreed to a debate before.
That's not true. That is totally not true. Wait, you got to answer the question. Don't tell a lie. Don't tell a lie.
Oh,
no, I know what the question you're going to ask. I haven't agreed to do his debate because his debate wasn't a fair debate, and you're not going to do a fair debate. Fair debate is
a
do it in front
debate.
Of the voters. And I've agreed. I said, if Senator Warnock come to Savannah, Georgia, in front of people and do the debate, show up, do one. Don't be talking about something else. You haven't even shown up yet. Make sure you show up at this one. If you bring him to this debate, drive him here, do the debate, then we can talk about other stuff.
What?
Right now, I don't think he's showing up because he don't want to talk about the issues.
He doesn't want to talk about the issues. Really? Raphael Warnock? This guy doesn't want to talk about the issues? Do tell.
If the race between me and my opponent were out here, I could understand why you might choose him. If it were here, of course. But this campaign is about who's ready to represent Georgia. And when it comes to that, I'm proud to be leading the fight to cap the cost of insulin, to make sure our military has safe housing, and to stop the big banks from ripping off consumers. I'm Raphael Warnock, and I'm running for Georgia. That's why I approve this message.
Okay, is it me? Really, you listen to one guy speak, and you can't understand anything he's saying because he doesn't understand what he's talking about. And you have Raphael Warnock, who is just smart, articulate, doing a great job. And I don't understand why the polls are so close. If people actually were voting on the merits of the candidates, there's no contest there. But then again, here in Florida, we have some people, still touting DeSantis, who is insane. He's not only, I got to tell you, he's not only bad in terms of not a good governor. But, I've said many times he's better educated than Trump. He understands things. He's smart. I don't think he's smarter. I think he's better educated, but I don't think much has sunk in. Let me just play for you this clip. It's an audio clip of Ron DeSantis talking about the storm. I think this was from yesterday. Okay. You tell me if this sounds like a governor in control who understands what's going on. Particularly pay attention to the way he doubles up his words, because he doesn't know enough words to emphasize what he's trying to say.
So this is a major, major storm. It's something that we knew was going to be significant. The strengthening of this over the last night, has been really, really significant.
Really, really.
It's potentially that it could make landfall as a Category 5. But clearly, this is a very powerful, major hurricane that's going to have major impacts, both on impact in Southwest Florida.
Impacts and impact.
It continues to work through the state, it is going to have major, major impacts in terms of wind, in terms of rain, in terms of flooding. So this is going to be a nasty day, 2 days. Probably we think now it will be exiting the peninsula sometime on Thursday.
What? He said nothing. The man says a lot of words, but he said nothing. Nothing. Again, there's no there. Unlike, so Ron DeSantis, we've talked about this before, was this like backbencher in Congress. Nobody ever heard of him until Donald Trump plucked him out of obscurity because he would do Donald Trump's bidding. And, that's all it took to get Trump's endorsement was to flatter him. Flattery gets you everywhere. Well, we've seen so many candidates who are worth. Herschel Walker, perfect example. There's nothing there, but he flatters Donald Trump. So Trump endorses him. And then the lemmings, the Trumpers, the maggots all say, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'll vote for that guy. Really? How about, just to show you what an effective member of Congress sounds like, just because I can, and just because I think she needs more attention called to her, Katie Porter got a good piece of legislation passed. I think this was from this week. If it wasn't, I will listen to it anyway, because it's Katie Porter and she rocks.
Getting Americans the help that they need. More than 1 in 5 911 calls involve mental health or substance use crises. That amounts to millions of calls per year. To keep these Americans safe, we need to connect them to health care. It is wasteful, hurtful, and a travesty of justice to criminalize people in mental health crises rather than deliver care. 1 in 4 fatal law enforcement encounters ends the life of someone with mental illness. We cannot improve public safety without giving our communities a better response system for mental health crises. My bill, the Mental Health Justice Act, funds local communities to create specialized mental health response units made up of trained health professionals. These units can be dispatched to respond to emergency calls for mental health. That way, people in crisis can get the care they need. Police officers can focus on crime, including stopping violent crime and other core law enforcement duties. And our communities get another tool to address our mental health crisis. The Mental Health Justice Act has widespread support from advocacy organizations fighting for mental health and civil rights because this approach works. In cities that already have these programs across the country, we see incredible positive results and support from local law enforcement. In Orange County, our law enforcement officials support this bill because their job is already difficult enough. They know their sworn duty is to prevent and solve crime and hold criminals accountable. Sending police to mental health situations diverts their attention from crime fighting. I've heard firsthand from officers who want specialized mental health response units. This bill empowers police to stay where they are needed, fighting crime. At the same time, entangling people in mental health crisis in the criminal justice system or holding them in jail wastes taxpayer dollars and doesn't deliver on public safety. When we send police to people in crisis, we fail to get those people desperately needed health care. And we take law enforcement away from tackling the violent crime that they are trained to take on. This hurts everyone in our community. The Mental Health Justice Act is supported by a broad bipartisan coalition, co-led by my colleague from Orange County, Republican Michelle Steele, and my colleagues Ayanna Pressley, Tony Cardenas, Mary Gay Scanlon. Keeping Americans safe and healthy is not a partisan issue. I am proud to champion the Mental Health Justice Act, a tested, effective solution to promote public safety and well-being for every American.
Man, she is so good. Katie Porter, that's what we need in Congress, not Herschel Walker. And thanks to Think It Through in the chat room, who basically wrote out the clip I was looking for. Herschel Walker today, you know, there was, you know, Republicans are getting all bent out of shape, but they can't even answer what a woman is. Well, Herschel Walker was asked, what is a woman? And he said, oh, now I lost the clip. Hold on. He said, okay, think it through. Hold on. I'm looking for your clip so I can read it exact. Now I can't find it. Basically, he said, here, I know what a woman is. It's written in the Bible. She's from the rib of the man. Yeah. You know, I'd like to hear him argue that with the actual reverend who preaches from Martin Luther King Jr.'s pulpit, as Warnock does. And yes, remove the reverend from his name when he's Senator Warnock. I agree with that. But wow, talk about two extremes. One of these things is not like the other. There's one other thing I want to play for you. And I toyed with getting on the phone again. But for reasons that I care about the people over there and I'm afraid for their safety, that's why I'm not making this phone call. But, you know, I like to call places in the world where there's stuff going on. And right now, the women of Iran are standing up and saying, I'm paraphrasing, fuck this shit. A young woman, a 22-year-old woman, younger than my daughter, was detained by the, what do they call them? The purity police or whatever. I forget what they call them over there. Because her hijab was too loose. She was killed while in custody. And now women are standing up and saying, fuck no. They're taking to the streets. And you know, that's not something that is encouraged over there. And I'm a bit afraid. Now, so I didn't call. I thought about calling and trying to get a woman. And I thought the last thing I want to do is, you know, be responsible for someone else's murder at the hands of the Iranian regime. So what I thought I'd do is go back a couple of years. I don't even know what the day. Oh, it was January of 2020. If you remember back then, Donald Trump just had his thugs kill an Iranian general. I think it was Soleimani or something like that. And there was a lot of concern that now Iran was going to... morality police. Thank you, Lauren. The morality police. Unbelievable. Yeah, the Republicans would like to engage the morality police. So anyway, bottom line is, and I'm running out of time, so I need to hurry. Back then, there was talk that this is going to spur a war with Iran. So I thought I need to call and just talk to somebody. So I did what I do. I called hotels in Iran. I got a few people who didn't want to talk to me.
And then I say, at least we tried.
We're trying to broker peace between the United States and Iran. Because I don't know about, well, I do know about you. You don't want war either. Donald Trump has no fucking right to do this. He didn't consult Congress. In fact, I have... Hi, do you speak English?
Yes, yes, madam, I speak English.
Hi, my name is Nicole. I'm calling from the United States. Just as a person, yes, person to person, I want to reach out to someone in Tehran to tell you that we do not want to fight with you guys, that we have a madman as president who's doing things that does not have the approval of most of the American people. So I want to know if you guys, regular Iranians, really just hate us in America, or you realize that we're human beings too, and most of us don't like Donald Trump and don't like what he's doing.
Of course, lady, we know about that, but we as a nation, we don't war, we just love peace. We do love peace, just know that, but this is a game with, you know, the politicians, not with the people.
Right. No, it's terrible. And we're trying to get Donald Trump out of office. You know, he's been impeached. He should not be. And the reason I think he's doing these crazy things is because he knows he's being impeached. We want to get him out of office. I'm so sorry. The general that we killed, Soleimani, is this somebody that you respect, somebody that you have affection for?
No. You know, I'm. I don't know what to tell you about the killing or killing the our general. But may I ask you a question? Can you tell me again everything that you told me, because I want to record it and send to my friends.
Oh, absolutely. My name is Nicole, and I do a radio show on the internet, and I wanted to reach out to somebody in Iran as a human being to human being to tell you that what our government is doing is not in our name. We do not agree with this. Most of us are freaked out about what's going on, and I wanted to reach out to just another human being in Tehran to tell you we don't want war with you. We want peace. We have crazy people running the government, and it's not okay. We're trying to get this guy out of office. So I called a hotel because that's where I figured I'd find somebody who can speak English, and I'm glad you did. And so I'm so thankful that you're talking to me. So that's what this is about. I'm actually doing a radio show. I didn't identify you, so there's no way anyone can tell who I'm talking to. But thank you for talking to me. How do you guys feel about the United States? All we hear, the media tells us that people in Iran chant death to America. Is that how most of you guys feel?
No, it's not. I don't feel that. I don't want war. I don't want death to America and the great nation of America. But just know that as an Iranian, I'm sending you this message. We do love peace. We are running from war, any war, small, big, any war. And we are sad about this terror attack from the United States. But we do love the America, United States nation. And don't forget that. Okay.
And I want you to know that most of us do not go along with Donald Trump. We have a weird system here in elections that lets the guy who got fewer votes win because it's all messed up. We want him out of office. He's already been impeached because he's a bad, bad guy. He's a bad man. And I want to reach out to say Donald Trump does not speak for me. And his actions, we are livid. We're freaked out that he did this. And we don't want war. We want peace. That's why I wanted to reach out human being to human being. And I'm so glad you picked up the phone. It's very
Thank
nice
very
to
much.
Meet you. I
Thank
wish
you.
We would meet under different circumstances. What can we do to keep from going to war? Do you have any thoughts other than kicking Donald Trump out of office?
I'm not sure about that because I don't know much from politics. I just,
right.
I hope and I beg for, to be each side, both sides, the United States and Iran, to be calmed down and not to do any, violence attack to from each other. But we're waiting, and we hope peace. We hope to both sides to calm down.
Yes, I hope so. We hope so, too. I'll post this on the blog. We're just running out of time. So that's my call to Iran, pushing peace. That's what we need right now. All right, maybe a little more of that. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye. All right. And with that, we're done for today. I just thought that was a good way to wrap up. There's so much unease in the world, so much, so many disagreements. You know, if we could talk to each other on a one-to-one human-to-human scale, things might be a lot better. All right. With that, I will see you tomorrow. Thanks for hanging, everybody. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All eyes are on Hurricane Ian, a massive storm. At press time, at the high end of Category 4, heading for Florida's Gulf Coast. It's looking like Ian will come ashore this afternoon right around Fort Myers, most likely as a Category 5. As Ian crashed across the western tip of Cuba yesterday, it knocked out power to the entire island nation and then intensified over the warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico. More than 2.5 million people have been urged to evacuate as catastrophic flooding and life-threatening storm surge are in the forecast. But if you haven't yet left, it's too late. It's time to hunker down. Now, projections had Ian on track to hit Tampa Bay. It would have marked the first direct hit in 100 years. But as hurricanes tend to do, its path has shifted. So residents in Orlando and Daytona Beach are now bracing for impact, and the coast from Sarasota down to Fort Myers is on alert. Schools, supermarkets, theme parks, and hospitals have shut down. The Navy is moving its ships, and people are boarding up their homes. I-4, the Florida Turnpike, 95. There are only a few limited ways out of the state, and those roads are packed. This is the first major hurricane hitting Florida since Ron DeSantis took office. Now he's being put to the test. Thankfully, he's accepting help from Joe Biden and the federal government, as they should, and using a lot of words to say not very, very much.
This is a very powerful major hurricane that's going to have major impacts, both on impact in Southwest Florida, but then as it continues to work through the state, it is going to have major, major impacts in terms of wind, in terms of rain, in terms of flooding.
Major, major, General.
So this is going to be a nasty, nasty day, 2 days.
Nasty, nasty day,
day. Probably, we think now it will be exiting the peninsula sometime on Thursday.
Be safe, everyone. Well, the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack postponed the hearing that was scheduled for today because of the hurricane. I know, at first I was a bit perturbed as well, but the idea of a split screen of the hearing on one side and the horrible devastation from the hurricane on the other, they had no other choice. The hearing will be rescheduled. But Congress is in session for a few short days, and there's a lot of work to get done. In an extremely rare moment of bipartisanship in the Senate, the Rules Committee on Tuesday advanced a bill that would clarify the procedure for certifying presidential elections to avoid another Capitol insurrection. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell even showed up for the vote on the Electoral Count Reform and Presidential Transition Improvement Act of 1887. The revision simply states that the vice president's role as presiding officer over election certification is merely ceremonial. It would also make it more difficult for lawmakers to object to a state's election results. The final vote out of the Rules Committee was 14-1, with Ted Cruz casting the lone vote against it. No surprise there. The Senate on Tuesday also advanced a spending bill designed to avert a potential government shutdown at the end of the week. This vote came after Senate leaders dropped Joe Manchin's controversial proposal to make permitting easier for future energy projects. So the man who has held an outsized amount of power in the Senate was finally defeated yesterday by a coalition of Republicans and progressive Democrats. The criminal trials continue for some of the January 6th insurrectionists. On Tuesday, a really tough sentence was handed down for Kyle Young, who looked at former Washington, D.C. police officer Michael Fanone and said, "I hope someday you'll forgive me. I know you hate me." Well, it's warranted. Young received a 7-year jail sentence for attacking Fanone during one of the most brutal assaults on police protecting the Capitol that day. Fanone was tased and eventually lost consciousness during the attack, where he begged for his life, telling the attackers that he had small children at home. Fanone has since left the Metropolitan Police and is now a CNN contributor. Young was the individual who handed another insurrectionist the stun gun that was used to electrocute Fanone. And as expected, Russia took another step toward annexing additional parts of Ukraine on Tuesday when pro-Kremlin officials announced that residents in 4 occupied regions in eastern and southern Ukraine had voted to join Russia. They didn't. Election officials installed by the Kremlin said that 93% of the vote in Zaporizhia favored annexation. They said 87% in the Kherson province, 99% in Donetsk, and 98% in Luhansk. Yeah. No. Ukrainian and Western leaders maintain the results were preordained and an unacceptable sham. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky calling the referendum a farce and promising good news from the war front. He said, quote, "We are advancing and will liberate our land." In response to the reaction, Vladimir Putin again invoked nuclear weapons. To quote Kurt Vonnegut, so it goes. And that's just a bit of what's news. For now, I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.